Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Today's message is Kingdom Tools, Yokes and Burdens. God has flipped something upside down for me, but yokes and burdens are kingdom tools. The problem is that we've gotten so cushy in Christianity, we won't let him put a yoke on us or set a burden on us. Okay, so I've started my message, so I guess I'm going to share with you where I'm at personally. I want to tell you that 25 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He says, I'm never going to make it easy on you because the day will come. People I send to you, that what took you years to do in months, what took you months to do in weeks, what took you weeks to do in days, and many will get what you need. They need by the laying on of your hands. In other words, I had to have something to give something. And I have gone through a crisis in the last couple, 2-3 weeks. The crisis is my calling. The crisis is that I had a vision 20 plus years ago of a move of God coming out of Canada, coming to America, retracing the Underground Railroad and becoming an end time movement. I'm sorry, God gave it to me and I haven't been able to get away from it. We had James from Ghana come in and it sparked this thing back in me. And I figured it out that God's visions and God's promises never fail. The people that thought you were supposed to do it with may change, they may fail, but his promises and his vision never does. So I was called to be part of that, and I've been sitting on some things. I've been sitting on things for years. And in the last few weeks, I've had to make some major decisions. I'll tell you, I'm going to be real blunt. Rodney and I have been dealing with the financial things. The elders and I have been dealing. We signed another 3-year lease. But prior to me signing it, I had to get alone with God. I said, am I still supposed to be here? Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm not, I'm gone. I didn't sign the lease because I'm supposed to be gone. I signed the lease because I'm supposed to be here teaching, training, and equipping people to do the work of the ministry. I was born to be a thoroughbred. I was born to birth revival. I was born to change the nation. But I'm telling you, this week, as I got alone with God, I said, where am I? Where am I in my process? Where am I with your vision, God? Have I screwed it up? Have I ticked off enough people that I can't go back? I'm anointed for that. But what do you do when you've made everybody mad? God waits another season to where there's a new crop of leaders. He works out your immaturity. He works out your stupidness. Yeah. Even though you're prophetically accurate, you're a horse's butt the way you gave it. There's something about horses today. I'm going to preach about horses today. I've had an encounter with God with a movie called War Horse. See, I got messed up. Susie went to the beach and I stayed home and watched War Horse. And then I come out and I'm saying, God, are you sure? Are you sure? And then I'm like, Michaela's back there going, drawing, and she draws a picture of a war horse in worship. Randy starts talking about plowing a field. All right, so God's talking to us about your vision, about God's vision in you. He's talking about this house and what we're supposed to be doing in this city, this region, in this nation. So when he starts doing this stuff, I'm like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be on the internet today. Okay, so here's what's happened. I go through the process. I know we're supposed to sign the lease. I'm recommitted to the original vision that's 20 plus years old with me. I'm sitting on contacts for 9 months in Canada. I've never had a lot of relationships in Canada, but sitting on a connection for 9 months, God speaks to me, it's time to make a phone call. I make one phone call, and within 3 days, I have more phone calls out of Buffalo, Rochester. Everybody wants me back. That might be God. Yeah, well, it was a big breech baby. Let me tell you what, Pastor Pam, listen, we need to be praying for Pam, and Christy's had jaw surgery. She's not doing well. We need to be praying for that. We got others that are out today. That's why we're going to put this on YouTube and hopefully clean it up. Anyway, she said something to me this week that just irritated the snot out of me. She quoted one of my heroes, Bill Johnson. Here's what he said. She quoted him. "I don't care about your vision until you care about mine." Coming from Bill Johnson torqued me. Because, you know, we're kingdom. We're supposed to care about everybody. So why did he make that statement? I know Bill. I've never seen Bill. That's hardline for me. But you know what? He's running a mega church that's impacting nations. And so everybody that comes in, listen, if you're not concerned about his vision, he can't be concerned about yours. And listen, I wrestled with this all week because I didn't like that statement. You know why? Because I've had people use it on me. Ooh, now we found the wound. And so I'm wrestling with that all week. You know, God, I'm called. They should see that. Don't you know I'm a thoroughbred? Don't you know I'm called to be this, that, and the other? Anybody, who am I preaching to? Listen, do you have a purpose and a plan? I'm going to mess with you today. So then we have Don Wallaba. How many was here Wednesday night? Did you see him praying over me? Dude, the anointing hit me. I was like this. And he's prophesying. And God amplified his breath to where I felt his breath on the back of my neck. And it wasn't just, you know, he wasn't blowing whisper things in my ear or anything, but it was breath. I'm like, God, what, you've amplified this for a reason. She says, yeah, why are you feeling his breath? I don't know. I'm up here trying to be really holy, and I'm thinking, man, he's blowing in my ear. He's blowing in the back of my neck. He's blowing on my shoulders. God amplified it. I said, I don't know, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He said, son, if you had actually yoked up with me, you wouldn't be able to feel his breath. I'm like, what do you mean? Take my yoke upon me. You got a calling, you got a purpose. I'm opening up another window. But if you don't yoke with me, you won't be able to plow. If you don't yoke with me, it'll be your strength and not our strength. And I saw a vision of getting into a yoke around my shoulder and Jesus being next to me. And we're pulling the ministry calling. We're pulling what God calls together. And I'm telling you, when you're pulling with him, it's easy and light. And so I started, I knew what scripture was. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. My yoke upon you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now listen, here's the problem. We read this scripture and we're talking about people that aren't saved. Getting rid of your yoke of sin. Yeah, let me tell you something. If you've gotten rid of your yoke in sin, that's great, but have you taken on his yoke? See, we're so happy that we lost the yoke of the devil, we won't put on his yoke. We're so glad that the burden of sin is off me, but have I taken the burden of his glory? Okay, I guess this didn't impact you as much as it did me. Let's go to Matthew 11, 25. Here's what he said. At the time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. If you listen to Kingdom School, we talked about that. Verse 26, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. Listen to this. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Have you been chosen to be revealed who he is and who the Father is? Yeah. Answer the question. Yes. So he's chosen to reveal to you the principles of the kingdom. And then he says, yoke up with me and carry my burden. Man, you got to figure out why he wants to yoke up you and why the burden. Listen, here's the issue with the burden. It's a weight. It's a responsibility. Oh, I'm saved. I don't have any responsibility. Yep, and that's why you're not doing anything. That's why you have a vision and a promise and a pipe dream, and you're actually not producing anything in the kingdom except hopelessness in yourself. That was good. I felt better already. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and will find rest for my soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Ezekiel 1:10 talks about the four faces of God. You got the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and the face of an eagle. As I was studying today, the Lord said to me, he said, son, when you yoke up with me, you take on the grace of an ox. That's the work. Oxpen. What's our scripture in oxpen? Anybody quote it? Proverbs 14:4. Where no ox are, the manger is clean, for much increase comes from the strength of an ox. Why would God make one of his faces an ox? Why? Because he loves strength. He loves power, and he loves to give it to you. But he won't give it to you. He won't rest upon you until you're willing to yoke with Jesus. Amen. Listen, Matthew, let's go ahead and go to Mark chapter 11 up there. Mark chapter 11. I told you I'd be all over the place. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. Now, when he drew near to Jerusalem in Bethpage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter in, you will find a colt tied in which no one has ever sat. Anybody ever tried to get on a horse that's never been broke? That's a funny thing. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and I will send it back immediately. Some of us have been untied in the hallways of hell, and the owner of you has now had to release you to be used by Jesus Christ to carry the King of Glory through the streets. And we had fun with it when we first gave our heart to Jesus, but now it's a burden. Now we don't want to carry the weight of his glory. Why? Because we have this big vision. I'm supposed to be all that in a bag of chips. Don't you know that? When we quit carrying his glory, his burden now becomes useless. But let me tell you, when the glory sits on an unbroken colt, it doesn't buck. When his glory sets on an unbroken, rebelliousness goes away. And some of us Christians have so much vision and purpose, we haven't dealt with how to carry his glory. And they went away and found the colt tied at the doorway of the street, and they untied it. And some of them standing there said, what are you doing and untying the colt? And they told him that Jesus said to let them go. There's a good deliverance ministry. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw the cloaks upon it and sat on him. When glory sits on you, the bucking will stop. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the field. That's called street ministry. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King of our Father, Hosanna in the highest. Listen, if you're going to fulfill the calling on your life, you're going to have to learn to host his presence when nobody else is around. Because in his presence, your criticalness won't work. You can stay critical, you can stay pitiful, or you can host his presence and become powerful. See, the problem is if you can't host his presence, you'll never let him yoke you. Because trying to be yoked without his presence has no purpose. Did you hear that? Being yoked to being yoked without his presence has no purpose. And then you're going to accuse everybody else of being, well, he's just a spiritually abusive. He actually requires something from me. No. Oh, I heard your vision. I saw that you were a thoroughbred. I'm trying to help you get in position to actually be successful in the kingdom. So I go to the Lord and I'm reading these scriptures of God. Come on, man. I'm pastoring. I'm doing my thing. I can prophesy to the best of them. I can. He said, son, are you willing to take my yoke? Are you willing to do it my way? Or are you just going to keep spouting off your promises? So Susie decides to go to the beach without me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, I'm wrestling all this. I'm wrestling all this last week. And the Lord speaks to me and says, why don't you watch a movie? And so I downloaded and I watched War Horse. Man, download it and watch this movie. This will mess you up. And this movie just, I sat there and wept through it. And the movie War Horse is before World War I. They're in England. It's a mom, dad, and a young boy. It starts off and he looks over the fence to a neighbor's farm and he sees this colt being born. And it's a gorgeous thoroughbred colt. You can see him longing after this beautiful colt. He watches it grow up. He gets around it. And long and short of the story is this colt becomes 2 years old and they auction this horse off. And at the auction, this guy's father, who's drinking a lot and walks with a limp, needs a good plow horse to plow the ground so they can survive. And he sees something about this horse and he bids on it. And another wealthy guy bids it up, bids it up, bids it up. This guy like sells the farm for a thoroughbred and what he needs is a plow horse. Let me tell you something. God knows your value even when you don't. This old drunk buys his horse and brings it home, and his wife's like, you paid how much? I've been there. And she rips him anew and says, you got 1 month to break this horse, train it, and make it work. Well, you don't turn a thoroughbred into a plow horse. And so he gets angry about his drink, you know, he's drinking and his brokenness, and he's going to shoot the horse out of anger. And his young son says, Dad, I'll train him. Dad, I'll put the yoke on him. I'll train him how to plow. He's like, you better. Out of desperation, he trains this horse that he loves, his name is Joey, to put the yoke over him, to teach him how to take the yoke. He works with him. Now he takes this horse out into the middle of this rocky, nasty ground with boulders in it that needs to be, the fallow ground needs to be plowed up. And this horse has never done this, and he's trying to do this. He listens to, and the whole town comes out to ridicule and to mock. The wealthy guy's talking to the drunk father. I'm going to own your farm because there's no way this ground can be plowed. There's no way you'll be able to plant. There's no way you'll be able to survive. You can see mom praying. All of a sudden, rain comes. The rain comes. Listen, when you're trying to do what God's told you to do, if you don't find some fresh rain somewhere, your heart will get stony, the ground will be hard, and you will quit the process. But when the rain comes, the ground softens. Long and short of it, that plow dug deep and he plowed the whole field. The whole town was in awe what this young kid did with this horse. And his father went out and planted the seed. His father was a hard man. He was saying to his mom, why is Dad so hard? She goes out into the barn. She finds some old folded up thing. She takes out medals of honor. She says, your father was in the war in North Africa. He got this for being in the war. Then he got this medal for being in a combat, medal of honor, basically. And then she pulled out a flag. This was his banner, his troop. She said, when he came home from the war, he threw these away, but I found them. He didn't want to talk about his wound, why he walked with a limp. He didn't want to talk about the war and the effect on it. But I've saved this. She gives him this banner. So he takes his father's banner, puts it in his pocket. They plant the ground. A hard rain comes and destroys their crop. World War I comes in, and the English come and they sell the, he has to sell the horse. Sell this thoroughbred that became a plow horse that had done the impossible. She said something to him. I started crying after this. After he sold this horse to survive, he says to his wife in the town, he says, "You know, I had to do it." Here's what she said. "It's not that you had to do it that makes me the maddest. It's the way you did it. You didn't have the decency to give him an opportunity to be part of the solving problem, the part of the solve the problem. Sometimes it's the way you try to fulfill the vision and the promise God gets you that gets you into most trouble." So as Joey's begging with this officer that had just purchased his horse, he ties this banner onto the halter of this horse, and this officer takes off with his horse. He tries to join the army to be Joey's trainer. Mom and Dad wouldn't let him. The horse goes and goes with this officer. Long and short of it, here's the bottom line. They go into battle, and the Germans just destroy them. Kill the officer, and here's all these horses. Now the Germans are saying, "Listen, we don't need these horses." They start shooting all the horses. How do you feed them? So they shoot all the horses. And there's one young man, a German soldier, says to his officer, "I need a couple good plow horses." Well, there was this black stallion and Joey that became friends, and he says, "Well, find him." And he tried to put the harness on the black stallion and he wouldn't do it. But Joey walks, this horse walks up to the guy to have the harness put on. And because the black stallion saw his friend Joey horse do it, they became a team. Even though he's a thoroughbred, he could take a yoke. Here's what this officer, this young German soldier says to Joey. "Because you could take a harness, it saved your life." The wagon they were hooked up to was the ambulance to bring the wounded from the battlefield to heal them. Yesterday I said, "Lord, how does this apply to me?" He said, "Listen, I put a yoke on you when you started this church. You've allowed me to put a yoke on you, and you are a thoroughbred. And I've been bringing in the wounded, been bringing in the hurt. And because you would let me yoke you, I've preserved you." The German, you got to see the movie. Long and short of it, there's this hill they're trying to take. It's Massacre Hill. The Germans are shooting the English. English are shooting the. It's crazy, the death. Well, this war horse gets loose on the German side. There's a scene where this tank corners this horse, and he runs and runs right over top of the tank. He runs right through the barbed wire, and he's heading over to the English side. And he hits this barbed wire, and he gets all tangled up. And you see the fence post and the barbed wire, and he collapses in between the English and the enemy. And they're looking out of their foxholes, and they're, "What is that?" "It's a cow." No, it's not a cow. "That's a horse." You got the German side doing the same thing. Here's this war horse. Barbed wire cut, nasty, bruised, just. And this one soldier goes, "I got to go get him." He goes out with a "don't shoot me" flag. And the enemy doesn't shoot. A German soldier comes up and he goes, "You're going to need pliers." And together, a German and an English cut this horse loose. And they both go, "Well, I brought the pliers. He's mine." And I go, "No, I came out here and you wouldn't have come out here. He's mine." And they flip a quarter. They flip a coin. And the English guy wins the bet and brings the horse back. This horse gets loose in the trenches and he's wounded. Here's his trainer had become a soldier. He was on the same battlefield. And when they went over into the German side, tear gas went off, and so he got blinded. So here's Joey's trainer that had lost his favorite horse, had lost this, had gone in the army, was looking for Joey. He's in the hospital trying to see his... He hears a rumor about a miracle horse that they found and cut loose from the barbed wire. Well, he had taught Joey to hear the way he whistled. So here's Joey in the hospital. The lead surgeon that he brought the horse to says, listen, just shoot this horse. I can't take the resources of medicine. This horse is useless. He starts with his whistle, and the horse takes off, looks at him, looks for him. And he comes up blinded to the officer who's telling the other officer to shoot the horse. And he says, I know it's a miracle horse, but it's just a horse. He goes, no, it's my horse. Here's this blinded young boy, soldier, looking for the horse that he knew was his, that he had trained. And he says, how do you know? Blinded, he goes, he has a star, a white star here, and he's got four socks. All of that was covered in mud and blood. And he goes, that's not him. He goes, no, it is. And the guy says, no, it's the mud. And they take the wash, his four socks. And they take and they wash the star off his head. And this officer goes, my Lord, he is yours. You think, okay, that's great. He gets his horse. But then the commanding officer says, it is my duty and responsibility. I know that doesn't sound right, but I have to sell him. His whole troops collect finances for Joey to go to the auction to get his horse back. He has 30 pounds. Isn't it amazing that 30 pounds is like Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver? 30 seemed that whole, his dad paid 30. He had to, 30 became a really interesting number through this. There was an old man came to the bidding and bid it up to 100 pounds. Everybody was shocked. This old man grabbed the horse. Because in the middle of the war, the trainer that made him the harness horse for the ambulance stole Joey and the black stallion, and he took his brother to run from the war. And they hid in an old windmill where an old grandfather and his granddaughter were just farmers. And they had found these two horses. So when the war took everything they had, including his granddaughter, the old grandpa heard about this miracle horse. He came and he outbid everybody to get the horse. Joey's sitting there going, sir, that's my horse. I trained him. And he says, no, this was my granddaughter's horse. I came to buy the remaining thing that she loved to keep at my house. He said, but sir, the old man stopped. He pulls the old banner that had been tied to the horse. He goes, does this mean anything to you? That was the banner that my father had when he went to war. He describes the banner that his father had when he learned to walk with a limp from being destroyed in war. The old man said, really? He hands him the banner. He says, and you can have this too, and hands him the horse. The end of the movie, he's riding Joey back to his farm. His mother looks out and sees him riding a horse. Could it be? Could it possibly be?
mother walks out, loves him. Then his old limping father comes, hands the banner back to his father. I'm telling you, God started speaking to me. He said, son, when you find that my banner over you is love, and you'll go through whatever I put you through, you will fulfill your destiny. Even those among you that can outbid you, I'm still God. And I will do something in their hearts to give them the banner that was yours, to give them the horse that was yours. He said, but many will not allow me to yoke them into what they think is not beneficial to their vision. And therefore, they've lost the passion and the love of my banner. I'm here to tell you, I am a thoroughbred. I have a thoroughbred calling on my life. But I have been faithful to become a plow horse where necessary. If you don't learn to be a plow horse, you won't carry the burden of the Lord. It will destroy you. It will become a heart that is wounded if you don't understand His purpose. But if we're not going to become plow horses and carry the wounded off the battlefield and care for them and love them, then we will miss our opportunities to fulfill what God called us to do. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But if you're not going to take off His yoke and you're not going to carry His burden, then you might as well flush your vision. This is a strong word. You might as well flush your vision. At the beginning of the week, I was mad at Bill Johnson. I didn't agree with his statement. I agree with his statement today. If you don't care about my vision, I'm not going to care about yours. If you won't allow me to put a yoke upon you and pull an ambulance, then go do it somewhere else. That's hard. But you know what? I'm a thoroughbred that's been a plow horse, that's been willing to pull an ambulance and get some of you healed. But you cannot be a thoroughbred running as a thoroughbred and still be wounded and unuseful and unwilling to carry a burden of His glory. Amen. What was amazing is that all things work together for the good of those who are called. Called what? To His purpose. Even your enemy will provide what is needed to cut the barbed wire away from you. See, you think we're blaming the devil. Maybe it's your unwilling to be yoked. Maybe it's your unwillingness to plow the wagon that you thought you were better than. Maybe it was your inability to witness to the neighbors. Rodney came to my house this week, and I wanted to introduce him to my neighbors. I figured Rodney may be safe to them. We were sitting on the back porch smoking cigars, talking to my neighbor. Rodney, just being Rodney, just shared about, you know, we're a three-part being. We're body, soul, and spirit. And dude, it lit my neighbor up. To the point where he's like, man, I need that teaching. I need that. I'm going to come to the men's group. I'm thinking, oh my God, my men's group wouldn't know what to do with him. Much less the rest of you. But he's got a portion of God. What did he share? Wounds from war. Secrets from what happened when he was in war. I've been ministering to him and ministering to him and ministering to him, and he opened him up. He don't know him. No matter 30 minutes, it set something in order I've been working on for months. He was sharing about what it was like to push a button and know that you just killed 20 people. I haven't known how to get to him. That's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom works. Listen. I feel like laying hands on you, and I'm doing this by faith. God said to me, the day is going to come. The ones I send you, what took you years, they'll do in months. What took you months, they'll do in weeks. What took you weeks, they'll do in days. And many they'll get by the laying on of your hands. Isn't it interesting in that how Wallabaugh started on Wednesday night? How many want to fulfill your destiny? Come to the front. Let's put some worship music on. This was not a believer's message. I didn't know if you know. I mean, an unbeliever's message. You know, I saw in that movie where Joey, he had cuts because he wasn't used to a harness. He had wounds where he wasn't used to the harness, but he kept pulling. You know, what's interesting is when you carry the burden, it's a weight. That's Jesus. But when you yoke up with him, you're pulling. And the government is upon his shoulders. We are the body of Christ. And when you yoke up with him, his government is on your shoulders. It's your shoulders that pull. It's your shoulders that put you into where you're supposed to be. He's still the head. He's still in charge. But when you yoke up with him, I'm telling you, great increase in the strength of an ox. It's interesting, the four faces of God is the face of a lion. That's the king. The face of an eagle, that's a prophet. The face of an ox, that's the strength. And then it's the face of man, that's you. So what are you doing with the ox, the lion, and the eagle? Are you yoking up with it? Are you willing to be bruised? Are you willing to be trained outside of what you think you are? Are you willing to pull an ambulance? Susie, help me up here, baby. I'm not looking to prophesy. I'm looking to impart today. Yeah. It will be an oily one. Come here. Start on and then I'll start on this end. Listen. You got to empty it so you can fill it. Let it go. There it is. Take it. Father, there it is. Just receive it. Yeah, Lord, heal the bruising from the last yoke. There it is. Put the ointment on the last yoke. And re-yoke them again. In Jesus' name. There it is. Receive it. Ooh. There it is. Lord, you said by the laying on my hands, they would get things they didn't know they needed. I release it right now. I release it. You said they would get things. There it is. Fresh water. Fresh rain. Fresh rain. Ooh. pressuring.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.